accession number 18778, Reel 1.
Ronald Hare, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
Hull.
Which year was this?
1922.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Hull?
Yes. Chapman Street School.
Is that Holderness Road?
No, it was corner of Chapman Street, off in Stone Ferry. Yeah, off Cleveland Street Lake in Stone Ferry.
How old were you when you left school?
14.
In 1936?
That's quite correct.
Did you get a job?
Yes, I worked for a shipping chemist for a while.
Is that what you were doing when war was declared?
No. I left that and then I went to work for British Oil and Cake Mills, BOCM. And I was working in the warehouse on Northbridge. And just before the war, they sent me to the farm. They had two farms at Bilton. One was a cattle farm and one was a poultry farm. And I was using the poultry farm for egg laying trials. And I worked on the turkeys and the pullets in the field. And there was three women and two men worked on what we call the avenues. There was five avenues and there was about as long as Portobello Street, and they had chickens in every one and they looked after them. And when the war was approaching, they decided to send me back into the warehouse. And on that morning we was unloading a barge. And my brother happened to be passing over the bridge, North Bridge. And I stopped and I shouted to him. And at 10 to 12, my name was on the list to finish. It wasn't on the list when I came back. But because I'd stopped and shouted to my brother, I was go for your cards at the weekend.
So, this was when war broke out?
Yes, and I got a job in Elder's Yard down Dalton Street, a cement factory. And my father had worked there, and my brother. And I was working on the stage loading lorries. And then I got onto the packing machines, and I was working on the packing machines, and we used to do so many in a day, and then we'd turn over and three men would work over on a night time. And at the time we run short of bags. We was waiting for jute bags to come in, and they placed me in the yard. And because I was under 21, like, of course, you only dropped down. And at the same time, my mother started to take ill. And he came to me after about a fortnight. Did Billy Eales, he was in charge of the Packers. And he said, you're on the nights next week, Ron. So I said, I can't do it, Bill. I said, my mother's very ill. So he said, you'll have to do nights next week. So I said, I can't. So he said, you'll have to go and get your cards at the weekend. So I had to go and get my cards. Well, just a while after that, my mother died. So I decided to go and join the army.
Which year was this?
That was beginning of 41. 9th of January, 1941. So I went to the army recruiting office.
By that time, had you been in any bombing of Hull?
Yes, there was a little bombing, like, yeah.
What was it like?
Well, it was not too bad where we was. They was catching it more in the Holderness Road area. So, of course, they sent me to the King's Own Yorkshire Light Infantry. And I've served with them for about a year and a half.
Did you see any of the bombing of Hull?
Just a little, like, yeah.
What exactly did you see?
Well, there was damage on Holness Road, where the aircraft used to come over and they used to strafe right down Holness Road, like. And then there was Sana bomb down the river. But after that, I was in the army, so, and I was sent away to Loughborough.
For basic training?
For basic training. And I was there for a while until they sent me out to a unit, like.
What was the basic training like?
Well, very rough, really, because you also get you out. Sergeant made you to have your out in the morning rifle drill, because in the infantry a rifle is the most important possession you have. So we used to be out at 6 o'clock in the morning on rifle drill. Yeah.
Was it easy to cope with?
Well, I managed it all right, like, yeah. But
how were you treated?
Well, not too bad. The we was only on, well, we was out, sent out to the unit, we was only on a slice now for bread a day. Till you'd done your 6 months, like, yeah.
Did you get anything else?
Oh, yes, you got your meals, like, but your ration was a slice now for bread a day, no more. If a man got caught taking half a slice of bread, he used to get 3 days' bread and water. So, yeah.
Did you know anybody who got that?
Oh, well, I can't say offhand, like, you know. But, yeah, it finished up, from what I heard, that the ration officer got caught fiddling the rations. And yeah.
So you should have been getting more?
Should have been getting more, like, but you see, it happens all over the place, I think. And then in 1942, I was sent down to
Had you been in England all this time?
Yes, training. And
with one of the battalions?
Yeah. And
which battalion was that?
It was the 70th. So
that was a young soldiers battalion?
Yeah. Oh, Cardington. They sent me down to Cardington, Bedford. Now, I didn't know what I was going down there for. And as it happened, it was to learn to be a glider pilot. And I passed all the tests, bar the colour test, I failed the colour test.
Had you volunteered for a glider
pilot? No. I was just sent down there. And So
you're colourblind, are you?
No, not really. But I did fail the colour test, you know. It was a disc, big disc, whirling round. And after that, like, I thought, well, I'll go for the artillery. Because then you got a bit more money than the infantry. And I joined the 57th Anti-Tank, and I went down to south with them, training on the 6-pounder.
Was it easy to get into the Royal Artillery?
Oh, yes, you had to just pass a test, like, and I passed the test all right, and that was it.
Was it called Anti-Tank Regiment, or what?
Anti-Tank Regiment, yeah. It was the 57th Anti-Tank. And we went down to, after a while, we went down to Woolwich, and then we were sent from Woolwich up to the Clyde, and was put on the boat for Algiers.
So which year is this?
That was 1942. Yeah. Yeah. And I went into Africa with 57th. And after a while, we went into Tunis, when Tunis fell. And we came out of there, and I went in hospital. I was in hospital about 3 or 4 days.
What with?
I had an abscess, like, in my mouth, and I had to go and get that done.
How would you manage to get that?
Beg your pardon?
How would you got the abscess?
I don't know, really, but... So, I came out of hospital, and they said to me, your unit's gone down the line. What do you want to do? So I said, well, I'll have the first unit that comes along.
Why did you say that?
Well, I thought to myself, I must go into some unit, like, so. And it happened that the first air landing battery was the one that came along. So I joined the first air landing battery.
Is that Royal Artillery again?
Yes, that's Royal Artillery. Hmm.
Where did you join them?
I joined them in Africa, like, and then we went across to Italy.
Did you see any action with the first air landing battery?
No, not there, because they'd already been across Sicily. It was just after that when I joined them, yeah.
So this is summer 43?
They'd lost a lot in Sicily's Lake, and there was building up again, you see. So then we went into Italy, and we was actually training with the Navy. And we was going out on these landing crafts. And... You know, the Navy was taking us, dropping us in near the shore, and was going ashore, like, and that, and I thought to myself, well, I wonder what this is for. And later on I found out that it would have been the Anzio landing, but at the beginning of January they decided to send us home. We caught a ship, a convoy, and it had boiler trouble, so we had to pull into Algiers for 2 weeks to get another convoy. And we arrived home in January 94.
Where were you doing the training for the Anzio landings?
We was at Barletta Barracks near Barry.
So you were supposed to be an air landing battery, but you were training for sea landing.
Yeah, yeah, well, they went by sea to Italy, you see, yeah.
What did you think of this unit, this air landing unit?
Well, it's all right. I was going on well, like, with the lads. But we got home at the end of January, and I was having a bit of trouble with my back.
What kind of trouble?
I couldn't really get to move about a lot. And I was having trouble getting in and out the wagon. And the sergeant said to me, "You better go and see the doctor, like." So I went to see the doctor, and he said, "I'll have to send you to military hospital, Lincoln Military Hospital." And I went into military hospital there, and I had a manipulation of the spine. I was in there a while.
Did the manipulation of your spine do you any good?
Oh, it did me a lot of good, like, at the time.
So how had you damaged your spine?
I don't know, really. But
so you were getting spinal pain, were you? You were getting pain in your back?
I was having pain here, right at the bottom of my back. And, you know, I was uncomfortable when I was sat in the wagons and that. And that's why the sergeant said, "Oh, you better get to hospital because you're no good like that." Well, I came out and I went back to the regiment, like, and they'd gone down into Lincolnshire. I was stationed at Heckington, near Sleaford. And we were doing our training there.
What rank did you have by then?
I was still a gunner. And the sergeant said to me, "I don't know why you haven't been any rank yet, like, so..." So I said, "Well, that's it. I was a gun layer, you see, a number 3.
What kind of guns did they have?
We had 6-pounders at first, then we got the 17-pounders. And I had to go on the Salisbury Plains to test them.
What did you think of the 17-pounder?
It was a good gun. The only trouble is, it's... It had oil and air pressure, and we didn't know, like, until we got into action in Arnhem, that when it was hit with shrapnel, it run back, and you lost your oil and air pressure, you see, and the gun was useless. They wanted more protection on it. I mean, it was powerful enough, because
what does a gun layer do on the 17-pounder?
Well, he sits on the seat and waits for orders, like, and then he has a knee press, hand press on it. See? And we tested it then. Like, then I went to load up, like, and the number 4, the Taffy Parnell, he took over, and I went down on my knee to load them, like. You had to get the shell, then push it in, then tap him on the back, that he knew then that the shell was in. And as I pushed it in, he'd kept his knee on. From the first shot he'd fired, it knocked me over the trail. Yeah, the gun run back. Eh? Yeah, it knocked me over the trail. Oh, they kicked him off the gun, they did. Yeah.
Where was this?
This was, well, I was testing it, like, before we went into action.
You said this was Salisbury Plains?
Yeah.
And were you injured?
No, No, not as it happened, Blake. Yeah, it just glanced me, like, and it flung me back. But I was all right, yeah.
And so you press something with your hand and you press something with your knee?
Yeah, it's toe, you see, you know.
What did
and
these...
Knee and press, like, you know, and he kept his on. When I put the shell in the second time, like, boom. That was it.
So what you pressed with the knee, you fired it?
Yeah, oh, yes, yes. Either that or your hand, you see, yeah.
They were alternatives, you mean?
Yes, oh, yes. You just depends, you see.
Depends on what?
Well, it depends on you. What you think's best, you know.
But they both do the same job?
They both do the same job. I don't think they do the £17 an hour anyway. I think they're 155 millimetres now, something like that, yeah. Yeah, it was a good gun, but I think the 25 pounder was a lot better one. I did a bit of training on that as well.
Why do you think the 25 pounder was better?
Well, because on open sights, you could knock a tank out with them. Yeah. You had to be on open sights, though.
Why did it have to be on open sights?
Well, because you was getting the tank as near to you as you could, like.
Did you know much about the German tanks?
Not really. We knew they had Mark 4s and Mark 6s, but while we was in Africa, Churchill came to visit one. And all there was a little delve in the front of it like that. Where it being hit with a shell, that's all. But they'd knocked the track off it, and that's how they'd caught the tank. They hadn't knocked it out otherwise. They'd knocked the track off. Well, once you knock the track off, like, the tank's beat. That's one way you could get them. But
so you saw Churchill, did you?
Yeah. He came round, like, visiting to see the tank, you know. Well, we never talked to him, though. We saw he was there, and that was it. Yeah.
What did he look like?
Well, same as he looks when he's all the time, like, you know. His old V and...
Did he give the V sign?
Yes, aye. He always does that.
So, coming back to 44,
We went down south then, and we was testing wagons and guns right down south. Sir Malcolm Campbell was down there at the time, and they was testing wagons and guns for the landing for France. So testing them, you know, how far they went in and where they was going to land, like, you know, because they'd picked out the areas, I think, before and where they was going to land. Kidding the Germans, they was going one way and they was going another way. And they was down there testing before we finally went, you know, down to the aerodromes then. And was, I think... We went to near Tarrant Russian, E Squadron. Yeah, we flew with.
Is a wagon a lorry?
Beg your pardon?
Is a wagon a lorry?
Yeah, oh yes. Well, you needed it for the ammunition. The amount of ammunition you wanted, like, you know, for the 17 pounder.
Yeah. So before you went to Tarrant Rushton, had you been in a glider before?
Oh yes, oh, I did my training in the gliders first, like, yeah. Right. first in the Amilcar, first in the Holzer, the one that carried 30 paratroopers or couple of Bren carriers, and then in the Amilcar, which carried the 17-pounder and a truck.
So that was when you, in 42, when you were training to be a glider pilot?
That was when we...
You never actually got into the training?
Not to be a glider pilot, no, no. I said I failed the colour test, and they said, sorry, you passed all the tests, but the colour test, but we can't take you. And that was it. I didn't know, what it was for a glider pilot till later on. That was when Churchill had decided in 42 that he would form a parachute regiment, because that's when it was actually formed. Some say 40, but it wasn't 40, it was 1942 when it was actually formed, the parachute regiment. What they'd done, they'd had squads going out on raids and that, and then Churchill had decided that he'd have a parachute regiment.
So in 44, your unit, the first air landing battery, was going to go with E Squadron of the Glider Pilot Regiment.
It was going with the E Squadron. There was the planes that was going to tow the glider and take us over to Holland. And that's when we took off on the 17th of September 1944.
What kind of glider did you go in?
Hamilcar, with a 17-pounder. Hmm.
Do you remember who was in charge of your party of troops?
Sergeant Thomas. He was killed with Sergeant Thomas.
Where did he come from?
He was a Welshman. I think he'd been in the army a while,
And
before the war, he'd been in the army.
What equipment did you take with you? What did you carry?
Well, we carried the 17-pounder, arms, the truck, the ammunition. That was it.
What did you carry on your body?
Our arms and that, nothing else. No papers, no nothing.
What were your arms?
We had Sten guns.
A Sten gun each?
Yeah.
Were you happy with a Sten gun?
Well, not really. Because after about 3 days, when you'd loaded a magazine, if you hadn't fired it for a day, a couple of days, you could just go like that and shack it, and the ammunition would fall out. The springs on them was no good. Yeah, the new versions later on was a lot better. But the early types was no good at all. Not in my opinion. Yeah.
How many rounds of ammunition did you carry for that?
Well, you carried the magazine, yeah. That was it.